our sermon series, Mixed Emojis, Mastering Your Emotions, and we're going to be in 2 Timothy chapter 1 today. And today, our emoji we're going to be talking about is fear. Has anybody ever been afraid? Maybe you were afraid to tell a joke about your boss or your wife when you were on a stage in front of a lot of people. Maybe you were afraid to show your parents your report card at one time. Has anybody ever been afraid to do that? I was afraid to do that at times, for sure. Maybe you were afraid of where our nation is going. During the Great Depression, Franklin Roosevelt, he was elected the president during the Great Depression, and during his inauguration speech, he gave the famous quote, "There's nothing to fear, or there's the only thing to fear is fear itself." That's what he said. And I think we all know that that's not necessarily true. Is anybody in here scared of spiders, right? People fear all kinds of things, and fear, it can be rational or it can be irrational. The Greek word for fear is phobos, which is where we get the word phobia. And so I wanted to share this fact with you. Did you guys know that there was over 500 phobias? That's a ton of phobias. People are scared of all kinds of things. And so just to get started tonight, I wanted to play another game. We already got to see them play an amazing game. I wanted to invite you guys to play a game with us tonight. So if you want to stand up, the game's going to be called Face Your Fears. And I'm going to put two different phobias on the board. And Miles likes to do this game where you raise your hand according to the picture, right? And if you get it right, you get to stay up. If you miss it, you have to sit down. And I'll announce the prize at the end. You don't know what you're getting. So can we go to the next slide? So the first fear is acrophobia. Do you guys think that is a fear of heights or a fear of looking up? Go ahead and cast your votes. That one's actually a fear of heights. Hey, a lot of you guys got knocked out on that one. That's good, because I thought that was going to be the easy one. So, the next one is going to be arachnophobia. Do you think that's a fear of bubblegum getting stuck on your shoe or of spiders? I'm not going to get... The answer for that one is spiders, okay? Did anybody get out on that one? Okay. Okay, the next one is acrobacrophobia. That's either the fear of people flipping or it doesn't actually exist. It doesn't exist. We got a couple people on that one. All right, the next one is ablutophobia. And I bet someone in here has this tonight. Is it a fear of pools or a fear of bathing? That's a fear of bathing. Some of you guys have never heard of that one because you have it. I'm just kidding, that's terrible. Don't hate me. We only got a few people left. I'm hoping to knock you guys out. The next one is unpronounceable. Hippopotamonstroesquipedaliophobia. Is that a fear of long words or a fear of hippos? Okay, that's a fear of long words. Do we get anybody? All right. I got just a couple more. Arachibutyrophobia. Is that a fear of peanut butter sticking to the roof of your mouth or a fear of ducks? I don't know. That's a fear of peanut butter sticking to the roof of your mouth. Okay, you guys all got it? Jeez. All right. The next one's nomophobia. So is that a fear of being without your cell phone or a fear of speaking on the phone? I'm trying to knock you guys out because I didn't want to give you any prizes. That is a fear of being without your phone. Did I get some people? Yes. All right, the last one is plutophobia. Is that a fear of planets? We got two left. Or a fear of money? Hey, all right, what do you got? It's a fear of money. Great job. Give it up for Todd. Todd, after the service, you can have one gift from the glass container on me, okay? You just tell him that you earned it. I have one more slide up that I wanted to show you guys. Theophobia. Do you think that's the fear of God or the fear of chipmunks? I think that's Theodore from Alvin and the Chipmunks. That could be right, right? No, that's the fear of God. But we just went through a bunch of different stuff. Most of these are real fears, I think, except for two of them in there that were not actual fears. There's definitely things to be feared, right? Theodore, he's not one of those things, amen. But there are things to be feared, and not all fear is bad fear. Some fear is good, it's valuable, it's of God. To some degree, there's a fear of getting on a stage and making a fool of yourself. That's a good fear. If you're a soldier, you should fear the guy that's shooting at you, right? That's a good fear. Kids, I'm sure you know this, but if something's glowing red, you should not touch that. You should fear that thing because it's hot. It's going to burn you. And those are all healthy fears. Healthy fears motivate us to avoid danger, right? And that's a good thing. There's some people in here that you just don't want to ride shotgun with. And I'm not gonna point at them, but we know. And that's a healthy fear, right? You avoid danger. But if you can't avoid danger, you can at least prepare for it, right? Electricians, they should fear electricity. That doesn't mean that they have to quit their job or that they go to work trembling every time they have to work around electricity. It means that they need to know what they're doing and pay close attention to the possible dangers at hand. And so the problem with fear, it comes when we allow our fears to control our lives. In Matthew 10:29, Jesus says, "And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." What is he saying? Fear God, right? If you don't know Christ as your Savior, then you have a good reason to fear. It's not one of those phobias. It's the Lord himself. If you're going to die right now and you didn't know Christ, apart from Christ, you would spend eternity separated from God. And you could easily say, "I don't believe in God." But the Bible says that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. What that means is that if you don't fear the Lord, you don't know anything, because fearing God is the foundation of knowledge. It recognizes who God is and who you are in light of that. And we build everything else on top of that. He's the creator and we're his creation. When you fear God, you understand that you need him. And so I implore you to fear the Lord, which doesn't mean to run away from God. More so, it means to run to him in awe of who he is and what he's done on the cross. And then you can call on him to save you from your sins before it's too late. So fear the Lord. But we're going to see later that if you do know Christ, that still fear, that fear that you have for God, it shouldn't control your lives, because God hasn't given us a spirit of fear. So I want to ask, why is it then that we see so many believers dealing with fear? Fear of sharing the gospel, fear of failure, fear of rejection or inadequacy, fear of man. Have you guys ever felt any of those fears when it comes to sharing the gospel, when it comes to living out your faith? We've all felt that stuff. But you're not alone, right? So many people suffer with these fears, and those fears, they can destroy you spiritually and sometimes even physically. Because fear, what it does is it keeps us from doing what God has called us to do. And if that that kills you, doesn't it? That kills me. Doesn't that plague you doesn't it plague your spirit when you don't live up to what God has called you to do? Doesn't that make you want to live for the Lord? And so I want to convince you guys tonight that believers can overcome fear. 2 Timothy 2, Paul addresses fear in his letter to Timothy, and he says, For God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of sound mind. He says God has not given us a spirit of fear. Paul's telling Timothy that you don't need to be possessed by fear. Fear shouldn't control you because God has given you his Holy Spirit. And so that's what we're going to be looking at tonight. And I just want to begin with the prayer. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for allowing us to come together, for allowing us to get into your word. And I just pray as we look at what Paul wrote to Timothy, that we could apply it to our lives, that we could see how that we can overcome fear in our own lives today so that we can live out your will and glorify you and see people come to know you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So, quick context. Timothy, he was a gifted man. He had an enormous responsibility as a young pastor in Ephesus, but he was timid, and he battled with fear often. And for this reason, we find Paul in his letters encouraging Timothy no less than 25 times in different places to be bold, to not shy away from confrontation, and to stand up where he needs to stand up and be strong for the faith. But it seems that Timothy's natural response was the same response that we often have when we get scared. He stepped back, right? When we face something that we fear, we often step back. And spiritually, his fears, they made him hesitate. They kept him from reaching the potential that he had at times. And they kept him from living out God's calling in his life at times. And so Paul, over and over again, encourages Timothy to overcome his fears so that he could do what God called him to do. Timothy wasn't going to see God's will accomplished in his life if he was paralyzed by fear. And this is true for us too, right? Teens, adults, if we're going to live out God's calling for our lives, we're going to have to overcome our fears. Not necessarily the fear of snakes and of spiders. Like, you guys can, Gabby, you can still come get me for the spiders, okay? I might tell the kids to go get the spider, but it's okay. It's okay. We can be scared of those things, right? But the fear that I'm saying we need to overcome is those social anxieties, those self-preserving tendencies that stem from fear of what's going to happen if I live out my faith. Those fears that we all deal with as believers, right? You can have fear and let it paralyze you, or you can have fear and let it paralyze you and keep you from living out God's will, or you can fear and overcome it, just as Paul did. It doesn't mean that you don't have to be afraid anymore. It means that you know how to keep going despite your fears. And so I guarantee if you're a believer tonight, you want to honor God with your life. You want to live out his calling. But I'm also certain that you've dealt with some of these same fears at times. You've probably wondered, how can I overcome these fears? And so here's the objective statement tonight. Every believer can overcome fear by understanding these two concepts. The first concept that we're going to look at is the destructive power of the spirit of fear. In 1 Timothy 1:7, it says, "For God hath not given us the spirit of fear." Fear can destroy our lives. It can keep us from seeing God's will in our lives, destroying our testimony. And in a really practical way, it can keep us from having great experiences by destroying our joy. Fear can physically and mentally incapacitate us as well, destroying our overall ability to live out God's will in our lives. And we've already talked about the pressures and the responsibilities that Timothy had to deal with and how fear affected those things. Now I want to talk about three basic ways that fear can hurt us. And so the first way that fear can hurt us is forgetfulness in verse 6. Fear can cause us to forget God and all his blessings. Look at verse 6, 2 Timothy chapter 1. It says, "Wherefore I put thee in remembrance, that thou stir up the gifts of God, which is in thee by the putting on of my hands." Timothy had forgotten who he was. He'd forgotten who he came from, or where he came from. In the verses just before this, Paul reminds Timothy of his heritage. He says, the unfeigned love that had been exemplified by his family. In verse 5, it says, "When I call to remembrance the unfeigned love that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also." Timothy's family wasn't timid like Timothy was. They weren't in bondage to fear. And neither was Timothy's spiritual family. In both of Paul's letters, he calls Timothy his son. And here we see Paul encouraging his spiritual son to live out God's calling in his life boldly, just as he had shown him. Paul had discipled Timothy, literally laying hands on him along with other elders. And when it came time for Timothy to take on his own ministry, it says, he's telling Timothy, I believe that you have the same spirit in you, right? Which is in you by the putting on of hands. Fear, man, had caused him to forget his heritage in the Lord. But more importantly than forgetting who he was and where he came from, his grandmother and Paul who raised him up, Timothy had forgotten the God that blessed him with all of this, right? So Paul says, I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God. God was with Timothy. God had gifted him to live for the Lord. In his first letter, Paul told Timothy, don't neglect these gifts. But it seems that he did. So Paul now is attempting to stir up those gifts, to light a flare or to light a fire under Timothy, to call him to remembrance. Too many believers hide their God-given gifts and abilities under a bushel because of fear. In 2020, there was a study that a survey of 1,600 Christians. They were asked, "Why don't you share your faith?" And you'll never guess what the number one answer was. Fear, right? If you're obsessed with fear or overcome by it, then you've forgotten who God is and what he's done for you. Think of the man who hid his talents because he feared the Lord. Everyone else had something to offer when he came back, but this man. He failed the mission that the Lord had for him because he was afraid. Which leads us to the second way fear can hurt us, which is failure. Fear can cause us to fail at what God wants us to do. In verse 8, it says, Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the affliction of the gospel according to the power of God. We have one mission, right? And it's to reach the world with the gospel. Timothy's fears were keeping him from accomplishing that mission at times. He was ashamed of the testimony of the Lord. He was ashamed of the testimony of Paul. And it was because he was scared. Timothy and the Christians at that time were dealing with real persecution. They had real reasons to be afraid, very extremely rational reasons to be afraid, right? Jesus himself was wrongfully murdered. Stephen was stoned. Others were martyred. Paul was writing Timothy from prison, right? And all of these things, they were real possibilities for Timothy and for other believers at this time. But this isn't generally the case for us in America today. We might get pushback for sharing our faith, but it's nothing like what they went through. And could it get to that point? Certainly it could. Does that actually change anything if it did, though? I don't really think so. I was in D group this week, and one of my guys referenced Luke 12:9, and it says, "But he that denieth me before men shall be denied before the angels of God." And the guy in my D group, he said, "Man, if all I have to do is just be a little uncomfortable around the family table or at the gym or when I'm hanging out with my friends, then why would I not share my faith with people and what Jesus has done for me in my life? Why would I let that fear of those things keep me from doing God's will?" Jesus is saying here, or he's saying that essentially to people who he knew were going to get martyred for his sake. And Paul was in prison telling Timothy, don't allow your fears to cause you to be ashamed of the gospel. Rather, be thou partakers of the affliction of the gospel according to the power of God. When we ought to succeed in our spiritual lives, when God has given us everything we need for success, many of us fail for that same reason, for fear. Fear, our fears freeze us when we listen to the lies of the enemy rather than simply doing what the Lord has for us to do. And so our gifts, when that happens, our gifts are rendered useless. That's what fear does to us. Christians all around us, all around the world, have their faith strangled by fear. They're barely able to function in their calling because their stomachs are tied in knots by fear. Just like Timothy, our fear can cause forgetfulness. It can cause failure, and it can cause even frailty. We're going to jump back one book to 1 Timothy 5:23. The third way fear can hurt us is frailty. Fear can actually cause us to become frail and sickly. Paul's first letter in 1 Timothy, it was written a few years earlier, and it doesn't seem to have the same level of urgency that we see in 2 Timothy, but Paul still addresses Timothy's fear. He just does it in a more practical and maybe like preventative way, where Paul is almost like admonishing Timothy in the second letter, like, snap out of your fear. Go live out your faith. In the first letter, he's more so saying, hey, this is the stuff that could happen to you. Don't let fear overcome you. And so in 1 Timothy 5:23, Paul says, drink no longer water, but use a little wine for thy stomach's sake and thine often infirmities. 1 Timothy tells us that from an early age, or from the early stages of his ministry, Timothy was dealing with these fears. Timothy dealt with insecurity about his age. He dealt with he feared leadership failures, and he had trouble dealing with conflict with false teachers. Being a pastor is tough. Amen. Amen. Yeah. And Timothy was timid as well. So that timidness, it didn't really help the situation much. Timothy was frail. He was weak because he was afraid of these things, all these things that could happen as he was leading that church. And so Paul is counseling him in these areas throughout the book. In verse 23, he gives him this advice. He says, drink no longer water, but use a little wine for thy stomach's sake and thine often infirmities. Warren Wiersbe said this about that verse. He says, for a young man already inclined towards timidity, these pressures would create significant stress that could readily manifest as physical illness. The digestive system is particularly vulnerable to the effects of chronic anxiety. While Paul prescribes wine as a physical remedy, his spiritual prescription was to stir up the gift, to be not ashamed, to hold fast to form of sound words, addressing both Timothy's physical symptoms with practical advice and his fear with spiritual encouragement. And so that's how that verse lines up with what he said in the second Timothy. But the Bible doesn't explicitly doesn't say this explicitly, but it seems that Timothy's fear and his anxieties over these things had made him physically sick. And we know that today fear and timidness, it can weaken a person physically. It can impair mental strength. Did you know that fear can shrink your prefrontal cortex, reducing clear thinking? It can make sound decision-making difficult. It can suppress immunity function. It can trigger sleep disturbances. It can destabilize your digestive health. It raises risk of heart issues, and it also drains social confidence. And so fear has real effects on our lives, real physical effects on our lives at times. In extreme cases, did you know that fear can trigger fatal heart rhythms, leading to fatal heart attacks? That's where you've probably heard the saying, scared to death, right? That's where that comes from. Timothy dealt with both physical and psychological fears, weaknesses that fear caused. Paul, now he advises him basically to face your fears, but also to take something to calm your stomach, right? When you don't face your fears control you, both physically and spiritually. And you become in bondage by your spirit, or by that spirit of fear. And then you miss out on amazing opportunities to be used by God. And so Timothy knew the Lord, right? Obviously he knew the Lord, but fear still gripped his life. This spirit of fear caused him to forget his God-given abilities, his God-given heritage. They caused him to fail at the mission that he was put on to boldly proclaim the gospel. And they also made him physically weak from his anxieties. But Paul told him how to overcome fear. And you and I can live lives of bondage of fear, or we can live freed by faith. Because When fear dominates, there's no room for Christ. But when Christ dominates, we can conquer our fears. John 16:33, it says, Jesus said this, "These things have I spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world, you shall have tribulation. But be of good cheer, I have overcome the world." Jesus has overcome the world, amen? There's still, even though Jesus had overcome the world, there's still so many gifted people sitting unused because they're afraid. Even in my own life, I was afraid to do what God had called me to do. I feared giving my life over to the Lord and doing what he wanted me to do. I feared what my peers would say. I feared what my parents would think. I feared my lack of capacity. Am I able to even do this? And I spent the first 5 years, 5 to 7 years of my new life in Christ pursuing something other than what I felt like God had called me to do. I almost didn't pursue ministry at all because I was afraid, right? Don't let that be you. You guys have so much potential. And I'm talking to teens, I'm talking to little kids, adults. You have so much potential. Don't let fear keep you from being who you ought to be in Christ. A spirit of fear, it can enslave a believer, making us forget our gifts, fail our mission, and even become physically frail. God hasn't left us defenseless against our fears. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7, it says, it doesn't just identify our problem, it provides a solution. A spirit of fear keeps us from doing what God had called us to do, but the Spirit of God, it prompts us and aids us in doing what we're called to do. You can overcome your fear today by understanding this second vital concept, the delivering power of the Spirit of God. And so that's concept number two, the delivering power of the Spirit of God. Paul says in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7, "For God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and of sound mind." Like Timothy, we have a real enemy, and he seeks to destroy us with fear. But God, he didn't give us a spirit of fear. He gave us his Spirit, amen? And he gave us a Spirit so that we could bring him glory and so that we could overcome our fears through his strength, through the Holy Spirit. We're going to see that God has given us three qualities that can enable us to live a life free from the bondage of fear. I want you guys to notice I didn't say free from fear in general. I said free from the bondage of fear. Fear remains. Remember, I just told you, I was scared to live out my calling in Christ. And you know what historically has been deemed the number one fear by people? Public speaking. I'm scared right now. But God, he enables us to overcome our fears through his strength, which leads us to our first quality that he gives us to overcome our fears, and that's power. God has given us a spirit of power. Acts 1:8, it says, "But ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth." Every single believer has that same Holy Spirit, that spirit of power. And Paul reminded Timothy that he was no different. God hadn't given him a spirit of fear, but of power. Remember, he just said that he wanted to stir up that power in Timothy so that he could lead the church in Ephesus, so that he could accomplish the mission of reaching Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the earth. Paul is now echoing what he told the Philippian church, who was dealing with persecution and uncertainty in Philippians 4:13. He said, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." You, me, and Timothy, we can overcome our fear through the power of God, which is given to us in the third person of the Trinity, right? Through the Holy Spirit. Paul tells Timothy, don't fail to live up to your calling because of fear. Rather, in verse 8, 2 Timothy 1, "Be thou partakers of the affliction of the gospel according to the power of God." That's not to say that no one will be against you, but that if God is with you, why should you be afraid? God, the power of God lives in us through the Holy Spirit. And when your enemy, we know that when your enemy is stronger than you, you have a good reason to be afraid, right? When you understand, though, that you have greater strength than your enemy, you don't really need to be afraid. Has anybody, when you were a little kid and you walked home from school, if you had a bully that picked on you, you would have been afraid, right? I had a bully when I was younger. They lived next door to me, and they would pick on me every day while I was playing in my front yard, and I was scared to death. So one day I had enough, and I went and I got my dad, and we marched right over to her, and we said, "Hey, you need to leave me alone." She was six, but she looked like she played defensive line for Findlay High School. So, hey, Peter was scared of a little girl too, okay? The Bible says in 1 John 4:4, "Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world." Our Father, the one that's with us, the one that's in us, is greater than our enemy, and so we don't need to fear. When I had my dad with me next to that little girl, I wasn't even worried about her. 2 Timothy 1:7, it says, "For God hath given us a spirit of," or "God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of power." And then we're going to move right into our second quality that he's given us, a spirit of love. God has given us a spirit of love. In 1 John 4:18, he says, "There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us." And so love is a powerful quality when it comes to dealing with fear. When we understand God's perfect love for us, it drives out that paralyzing fear that Timothy struggled with and that we so often face. The answer for fear is found in that source of perfect love. John 3:16, we all know the verse, "For God so loved the world that he hath given his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." If you know the love of the Son, that he gave his life for you, then you don't need to fear, because God has that perfect love for you. That perfect love, it casts out fear. His love, it covers a multitude of sins. It covers all of our sins. His love even covers our forgetfulness, our failures, and our frailties. And so that when we fear the enemy more than we love God, those forgetfulness, those failures, those frailties, they come when we fear the enemy more than we love God. And when John says, "He that feareth is not made perfect," what he's referring to is our growing experience of God's love. The word "perfect" here, it doesn't mean perfect like without flaw. It means mature, complete. When we experience God's love, our love grows, it matures. And mature love, it doesn't worry about torment. It doesn't worry about, what is God going to do? Is God going to punish me? Because we know the Lord. And it grows as we walk faithfully, trusting in Christ and what he's done for us on the cross. And so Timothy's timidness, it revealed that he hadn't fully embraced God's love so that he could be empowered by him to face persecution. He knew the Lord, but he had some growing to do. And so here's the point. We don't need to fear that the Lord is going to pour out his wrath on us if we know Christ. Rather, we should love God by living out his will for our lives, right? We love him because he first loved us. And if we don't have fear, the torment, or if we don't fear the torment of the Lord, rather, how much less then should we worry about the torment of our enemy? When love motivates our faithfulness to God, the things we fear that could happen, they don't compare to the things that will happen when we live out our calling in God, in Christ. What I'm saying is, if I do what God has called me to do, I fear that people could reject me. I fear that people will hate me. I fear that I won't be good enough. And that would stink, right? But if you live out God's calling for your life, people will be saved. God's going to be glorified. And that's going to be far greater than whatever, that's going to surpass anything that could have happened because of our fears, right? And so that brings us to our last quality. 2 Timothy 1:7 again, "For God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and of sound mind." God has given us a spirit of sound mind. The phrase "sound mind," it, it indicates that God has given us discipline, self-control, and a discerning spirit. The believer, we can see reality through the lens of God's truth, as opposed to through the lens of our fear. There's an old acronym for fear, and it's false evidence appearing real. That's what fear is a lot of times, just false evidence appearing real. But for Timothy, we know that there was actual, there was potential danger there, and that was very real. Persecution was happening, and still Paul admonished him to not live in fear. Don't be ashamed, he said in chapter 1, verse 8. Back in a few verses later in chapter 12 of 2 Timothy 1, it says, "For which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day." So Paul's basically saying, Timothy, I've been through your very worst fears. But as a follower of Christ, we can't let fear keep us from living out God's calling, from sharing the gospel. Remember, Paul is writing from prison. Does anybody in here have a fear of prison? None of you? You guys haven't watched Scared Straight. If there was a Scared Straight show in first century Rome and Paul was in there, he'd be writing Timothy and he'd be like, "Hey, it's not so bad, Timothy. You can do it. Just live out your faith." Because Timothy, Paul had a sound mind. Though he wasn't in denial of his circumstances, he had a rational trust in God's faithfulness, and he believed that the Lord, who saved his soul, could keep it. His discipline, thinking, it was what anchored him in trusting the Lord and living out his faith. He says, "Whom I have believed," not just what he believed, but the person whom he believed. He put his faith in Christ, and he knew that God could get him through that. So our fears, they may or may not come true, but every promise the Lord has given us will come true. Peter put it like this in 1 Peter 4:16. He said, "Yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf." Consider Peter and John in Acts 4 when they're standing in front of the very people that killed Jesus, and they're being threatened for their faith and for their lives. And they said, "If you don't stop preaching the gospel, we're going to get rid of you," just like we did Jesus, basically, right? And then they responded, "Whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than God, judge ye. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard." They were of a sound mind. They sounded crazy to everybody else, but they understood what they were doing. They understood that the authority of God trumped the authority of the enemy. The apostles, they faced their fears by continuing. After that, they continued to live out their calling, spreading the gospel to the nations. And almost all 12 of them saw Timothy's worst fears come true. Still, Paul exhorts Timothy to overcome his fears and walk faithfully, freed from bondage, free from fear through the gifts of God, through God's power, his love, and the sound mind that he equips us with. These aren't just qualities that Timothy needed. These are what God has given to each of us. The spirit of fear, it wants to paralyze us. It wants to keep us from doing God's will in our lives. But the spirit of God, it propels us forward in his calling. And so, while the scripture, it doesn't tell us explicitly if Timothy fully conquered his fear, we know that Paul's encouragement wasn't in vain. Paul wouldn't have written these words if victory over our fear was not possible through Christ. The spirit of God is stronger than the spirit of fear. And today, every believer, we have to choose whether we're going to be overcome by the spirit of fear or if we're going to overcome our fear by walking in the spirit of God. Through Paul's encouragement, we've discovered that every believer can overcome fear by understanding these two essential qualities: the destructive power of the spirit of fear. The enemy wants to destroy us. He wants to destroy our testimony and keep us from living out God's will in our lives by using fear. And the delivering power of the spirit of God. The spirit of God enables us to live free from the bondage of fear by equipping us with power, with love, and with a sound mind. Psalm 21, verse 1, it captures this perfectly. He says, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid?" When God becomes our light, our salvation, and our strength, fear loses its grip on us. Like Timothy, we may still be afraid, and that's natural, to be afraid of these possibilities that could happen. But we don't have to be controlled by our fear. We can move forward in faith because we have the spirit of power to face challenges. We have the spirit of love to cast out fear. We have the spirit of sound mind to think clearly in uncertain times. So tonight I have one challenge for us, and it's a big one. Don't let your fear keep you from living out God's calling. Step into God's calling. That's one big challenge because it encapsulates a lot of things. Share your faith with your friends, with your family members. Serve in ministry that challenges you, that stretches you out of your comfort zone. Make decisions that require stepping out in faith and address difficult situations that you've been avoiding. God wants to work through you, but if you let fear control your life, it's going to be pretty hard for him to move in that, in your life. So press toward the mark. Just as Paul did in Philippians 3:14, he says, "I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Jesus Christ." Because God has not given us a spirit of fear. He's given you his spirit, the Holy Spirit, the fear of God. It removes all other fears. The man who kneels before God can stand before any man. And so Timothy, he needed to learn this truth, and so do we. And so I'm going to ask you all to stand, every head bowed.